Hey everybody, welcome to our new show, episode one, Pay-Per-View Fest. It is our wrestling only show that we're going to do monthly, where we review and recap all the pay-per-views we see at the end of the month. It seems like most of them drop on that last weekend of every month, so we've decided to just do a show dedicated to wrestling and to pay-per-views so we don't overwhelm the other show. So, comic book fans who are just comic book fans, this might be one you sit out, but we hope you stay around and enjoy the wrestling with us because we think it's going to be a lot of fun. Fred and Joey starts the show off with us. What did you guys think of the weekend?
It was long.
Yeah.
Would we take in like 10 hours of wrestling at least?
At least.
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
And I was getting notifications for like the Shimmer one and a couple other small ones, them trying to entice me to buy. And I was like, oh no, I've got enough wrestling. I got more than enough, man. I got a Wrestle Circus like little thing because I follow them on YouTube, Twitch. They sent something. I mean, yeah, everybody was sending me like, hey, watch our show too.
Right. It's definitely a good time to be a wrestling fan, that's for sure.
Yep.
Well, we're going to go ahead and start this off with, you know, we kind of did some, we highlighted these events last week and we did our picks. So we're going to kind of do it in the order that we did it last weekend. We're going to start with Ring of Honor. So the Ring of Honor show was called Best in the World. Well, I'm not sure it was the best in the world. So let's go ahead and talk about Ring of Honor.
Well, they did showcase some of the best talent in the world.
Right.
Now, did they book them correctly? I don't believe so.
I personally,
for me, just watching the Ring of Honor, it was a little upsetting. It felt like a WWE pay-per-view. Like, you have all this talent, but yet you want to put over the old groups like the Allure, or you have Bully Ray running into the ring and things like that. When you have talent like, say, Bandito or Dragon Lee, guys that are extremely talented that I've watched in Japan and I've watched them in AAA just like dominate, and then they're not booked correctly. So like a fan that's just tuning in, they don't get to see that dominance or that greatness. So that was a little disappointing. Also, the Jeff Cobb match for me was disappointing, too, because how do you build up weekly promos with Jeff Cobb talking about how, like, he, you know, his whole life story, and then he basically gets squashed by Matt Taven?
Yeah, and he was undefeated.
Undefeated.
He was undefeated going to this match. He had not lost a match.
Right, and he won the title against Punishment Martinez easily.
So, I don't know. We'll get into that a little deeper, why they may have made that choice. But that was disappointing. Like you, I was so hyped. I guess because it was the whole weekend of wrestling. I was excited about show after show after show. And, whew, that just, yeah, I was a letdown and a half.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like Dragon Lee did his job. He made Dalton Castle look strong. Like he took all those bumps, they throw him into continuously being thrown into the crowd and stuff. He did that. He did a good job. I mean, he started off quickly, like his brother beat him, Roosh beat Dalton Castle, which was cool. So he got his little bit. But, you know, Granny Panties, Dalton Castle just like, just looked like he was like the one that was on top. And it was kind of disappointing because I've seen Dragon Lee wrestle in AAA and like I mentioned, New Japan, and that's not the same character or the same product or the style of wrestling he does that we seen Friday.
Yeah, I want to say that they started it off like my dad said with him hitting him in the corner, and then Dalton Castle just started throwing him into the barricade most of the match, and it was like a style change for him, so.
Yeah, I was worried about that one. I remember bringing that up, that I was like, well, how are they going to do that? And yeah, they didn't do a good job, especially for me, who just got a really good introduction to Dragon Lee, maybe 3 weeks ago, watching him go against Ospreay. So I go from watching him go against Ospreay to watching this. It was like, what the hell just happened? This is not what I was. I mean, I knew it wasn't going to be that level because Castle's not Ospreay.
Right.
But still, I expected a little bit more. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, with that match, though, it kind of, like, helped Dalton Castle's character. Mm-hmm. But the one that made me even more upset was the Bandido match, because he's, like, super talented, and the only good spot he got was when the big 450-pound dude, or how much he weighs, he caught him. You have a 185-pound guy holding him there and catching him, showing his strength, but that's the only time that he was able to kind of show his style, because he was with a guy that was so slow. It was like, you know, a giant versus, like, a luchador. It just didn't work because the giant couldn't move that much.
He beat him a week or 2 weeks before when he did do that, all those suplexes and stuff. That should have been the match that was at this show.
Yeah, that one. By that point, I was watching on my phone. I kind of got frustrated with the whole thing, and I went and I lied down, and I was watching on my phone, and so I had the chat feature on. And the chat room was talking about anything but the show. But it was funny that the big thing that some people come in like this, they were just totally bagging on Bandido, people that hadn't seen him. And it was depressing because there was only a couple other guys like me, like, this is not Bandido, you know, you can't judge him on this. They're like, ah, he's a knockoff, he's a wannabe, he's not really, you know what I mean? That he was just a poor substitute for other really good luchadors. They were all naming just different luchadors and Japanese style guys. And I'm like, oh, but he is that good, but you're not seeing the real him.
Those were the type of people that would say that Rey Mysterio, greatest of all time.
Well, they weren't quite going that far, but they probably are. They were saying things
they said he wants to be Rey Mysterio.
They were comparing him to different Japanese wrestlers and things like that. And it's because Bandido wasn't really showing anything. It wasn't, if that's the only match you ever saw of him, I guess you could get that opinion, you know?
Right.
Because it didn't showcase him. Ugh. Yeah. And then I think Cobb is leaving, or I don't know what's going on, because that did not make him look good at all. That made Taven look like he was The Rock or something.
Yeah, they did make Taven look super strong, especially after the last pay-per-view. I didn't get the booking at all on the show. Even to go from there to like the lure and the other women, you had the young women that you need to get your women talent over, but yet you keep giving Delore the wins and stuff. It's disappointing. It seemed like I mentioned, a WWE pay-per-view. Like, they knew you were gonna buy it regardless, so this is what you're gonna get.
We knew it was gonna go somewhere with that. And they, of course, they brought out the heel, and that's what they had to win with. And it was like a Bully Ray match.
Oh, it was horrible. I didn't think it was going to be that bad. I knew it was going to be bad. I swear, right? That just set back women's wrestling in all federations, like 5 years. I mean, it was so bad. Not only were they using those old-style diva tactics, but it's like they were scared of any contact. Like, the end, when that surprise, that other woman, who I don't know who she is, showed up, they all just stand there looking at each other and looking at her, looking at each other, looking at her, and then they just all step off the apron and walk back in the ring, walk back to the back. There wasn't even, like, anything. It's not like, wow, I'm here, I'm going to powerbomb some people, I'm going to pull their hair, something.
The best part of the match was when the, what's her name? The Mandy, how do you say her last name? Where she just took she just took that big bump off the apron when she hit the ground on her back. That was about, like, biggest part of the match.
I'll give her that. She did take a pretty hard, that was a big fall. But it, I don't know, it's not necessarily skill per se. She just kind of fell.
Yep.
Ugh, it was just bad.
Yeah, another thing that was bad going into it, because I don't pay attention to the Ring of Honor Twitter and stuff, is that we missed the Roosh versus Flip Gordon match because it was on supposedly a pre-show.
I rewatched it. It was Roosh was taking the whole match, and Flip Gordon didn't really get to show his talent as much. But it was like the Dalton Castle match. They just threw each other in the barricade a couple of times. And I think,
Go ahead.
Oh, and I think Roosh took the victory over him.
I heard a thing that before, like, I heard a Ring of Honor pay-per-view a day before that, and that he was going to get kind of pushed. Like that he wasn't going to get a good push, Roosh was. I didn't know it was going to go all the way to the pre-show. That they're kind of not happy with him. He's not willing to do the job. And he's not willing to necessarily commit to ROH. He's still under contract with CMLL. And so they're kind of, there's a little friction there. So when I heard he got pushed to the pre-show, that had something to do with it, I think.
Yeah, it's bad booking.
Yeah, it was. It was bad booking. They have talent. The best match would probably be Villain Enterprise versus Lifeblood. And even that had some problems. It was spotty, but, I mean, PCO did some crazy stuff that kept it interesting. But it wasn't the best match. Best match of this show, but not the best match.
Right. Yeah, and then the end where we had the little switcheroo with a spoiler alert new faction member, Flip Gordon, coming. It only leads us to believe that Marty Scurll, when his contract's up in September, Flip's taking over Villain Enterprise. So,
right. He would have been a good Lifeblood fit, but I'm surprised. Did they take, what's his name? Did they take PJ Black after the match?
Yeah, they didn't. Why did they ever offer PJ Black a shirt? Instead, they offer Flip Gordon a shirt.
Oh, at the end of the match, they thought they were going to give it to PJ Black, but instead they threw it at Flip Gordon because he took out Bubba Ray.
And then it was odd, too, because you had Bandito in the ring as well, and you're like, wait, this is what you're going to go with? You had plenty of talent there to... But what I think is, like, Marty Scurll's, you know, his contract's up in September or whatever it is, and then this is the way, because I saw a Flip change his... He's wearing a mask on Twitter, and he's calling himself the Mercenary, which makes sense because he was a Marine, so that way he can take them over.
I don't know what to say, but if ROH keeps doing this, I'm done with them. This style is not good. This is making Impact look good to me. I don't know what else to say. And that whole Allure thing, I don't know if you read that Sports Illustrated article they just did, how their goal is to do something different and unique and all this, that we're bringing back an era where people aren't scared to be sexy and be a little different. I'm like, what are you talking about? There's lots of people that. I mean, that's Scarlett Bordeaux's whole act, and she doesn't have to do crappy wrestling to accomplish that, you know? It's like, ugh, it's just so bad. And like you said, if it's Bully Ray and he's doing this style, Ring of Honor, everyone needs to bail as soon as they can. Get out. Go somewhere else.
Yeah, because this is supposed to be one of their biggest pay-per-views, and this is how they, you know, you get some eyes on you and you throw in some other wrestlers with you, and this is what you give the fans. I mean, you give them Kenny King and Jay Lethal again. I guess if there was another decent match was the Briscoes versus Aldis and Eli Drake.
Yeah.
Was okay, but...
I just didn't care.
Yeah, I was kind of the same way, just watching it and going, oh, I'm not amused.
Did that match end as a count out? I didn't...
Was it a count out?
Yeah, they rung the bell, I don't know if it was Mark or Jay. I think it was either a count out or when James Storm hopped off the announce table.
I think it was when James Storm hit him that it was disqualification.
Right.
Yeah, it had to do with Storm leaving, but I couldn't remember if it was a count out or, yeah.
See, so even the good match didn't end to a pinfall.
No, nothing. I think the only one that ended in a real good, strong pinfall was Cobb getting destroyed, which made no sense. I told you, if I would have been booking that match, because I thought Taven was going to win, and I understand. Taven's your champion right now. He's going to win. But I would have had Cobb kick the crap out of Taven for 75-80% of that match.
Yeah,
Taven up. And then Taven somehow weasels out of it, somehow gets a cheap hold on to the tight, victory.
Yeah.
And then he can stand up and like, I'm Matt Taven and no one can beat me, and you know.
Or he had his foot on the ropes to help him or something.
And so Cobb stays strong, and he's still shown as the better wrestler.
Yeah.
And Taven's still your champion because you like, you know, he's good. Yeah, if you want to have a heel champion, he's a good heel champion. It's probably the best they've got.
Yeah, so. He's great on the mic. He's a great talker. I mean, he can talk trash with the best of them. I think we're done talking about this trash right now. So I don't you think we should move on to
New Japan? And to everyone that may have ordered it because of us, I'm sorry. I really am.
Yeah, because we lost out on that money too.
Yeah.
I watched it twice just so I could get my money's worth, and I'm like, oh, this is still bad. Like, you know, like sometimes, like, you're watching a match or something and the fans are into it. Like, even if it's crap, you could get into it a little bit, but they weren't even into it there.
Oh, God, no. That Allure match, they were all, again, in that chat I was in, they were all like, look how bored all the fans are.
Yeah, no one was cheering for anything. There was no pops for anything. The biggest pop was when Bandino high-fived the kid in the front row.
Or I think it was when Jay and Mark Briscoe went over there to get the flag, and
yeah, and hitting them with beers. Yeah,
And then when Roosh asked for the trash can in the beginning and hit Flip Gordon with it.
I didn't even see that. So yeah. All right, let's close that book. Let's close that chapter. All done. All right, let's go to New Japan. We thought this one was going to be a freebie, and it turned out not to be a freebie. So we had to spend a little money on this one. I was almost wish we hadn't advertised it that we were going to do that one. I was like,
Yeah.
But, yep, okay, we ordered it. What do you guys think?
I thought it was better than the last show we talked about.
Yes.
They showcased every wrestler was able to showcase their talents, unlike the last show we talked about.
The Young Lions had a match too.
But if you don't like the Bullet Club, you probably wouldn't like this pay per view.
Mm-hmm.
It was very Bullet Club heavy.
I agree with that. I also think they need to shake some things up because there was just some bad matches. Like, it's funny you say the Bullet Club. Like, okay, the Gorillas of Destiny, if you're going to say they're one of the greatest tag teams ever, like they were trying to say, they need a legit opponent. It was that's one of the first times I can say one of their matches was boring to me. Yeah. They need something more interesting. They need a compelling opponent that makes you believe that they could actually lose the match. And that was a problem for me.
Yeah. Like Will Ospreay and Robbie Eagles versus them.
There they go. Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's true, huh? Wrestling fans should know. By the time we drop this, they'll know.
Yeah, I mean, like we went over the matches. I think we started at match number 5 was Rocky Romero, El Fantasmo. That's where on this pay-per-view it actually picked up. Like you got to see a lot of talents. Like Rocky's been doing this for like 20 plus years and he's still hanging with these younger guys that can move. That was a great match, what I did see, but my pay-per-view kind of cut out at the end. Where they did a sweet move, and I'm like, oh, is he pinning him? And then when it came on, what did we see?
Phantasmo's music.
Music.
And him crawling away.
Yeah.
You guys saw more than me. When it came back for me, it was already the guys from the next match coming down the ramp.
Wow.
So I didn't see how that ended. I had to ask you who won. So I missed the ending. That was a good match. I agree.
It was.
At first, I wasn't into it. I was kind of like, eh.
Yeah,
and as it progressed, it started to really pick up.
Phantasmo's supposed to be a cruiser. He's the cruiserweight champ, right? And they didn't do anything really cruiserweight-like in the beginning. And then they started picking it up.
Until he started, like, walking across the ropes and things like that.
Right.
Yeah, it started picking up and there was more action. I guess I would say the only thing is it felt more like just spots. And they didn't draw me in. It took a while for me to get into that one. Like, say, the Eagles-Osprey one, I was more into it. It felt more like a fight. Like, even for just a tiny minute, every now and then I thought, well, maybe they will let Eagles win. Nah, Eagles can't win. But it was good enough to where you kind of believe it for a little bit.
Yeah,
that's the difference, I guess I would say.
That one was, you know, the wrestlers able to, like, do their in-ring storytelling. Like, you could see the struggle. Like, Robbie trying to do the right thing, not letting Phantasmo, like, interfere, things like that. You had the back and forth, but each guy hitting major moves on each other, like things like that. I mean, that was a great storytelling match.
Right.
Working the leg on Ospreay. So, you know, you start believing that Ospreay can't pull off some of his moves because his legs hurt and stuff. Yeah, the storytelling. They didn't. Yeah. And there really wasn't much of that in the Phantasmo match.
No, and so. I think...
But it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Right, and I think Joe mentioned on, like, a previous episode when we were talking about watching weekly episode of New Japan, like, he said, remember when he was like, I think something's going on between Phantasmo and Robbie Eagles because they were getting into it. And that, and it continued, the storyline continued through this week because, spoiler, after this match, you know, today, actually, I think it was today, Robbie Eagles left the Bullet Club and he's in Chaos now with Ospreay.
Well, yeah, at the end of the show, I mean, no, not at the end, at the end of the match, Fale and Jay came out and asked him to hit Ospreay with the chair, and instead he threw it down, and Jay White got mad and tried to hit Ospreay with it and got him with the super kick. And then,
oh, wow.
Then Okada and Hiroshi got in, pulled Fale out, and then the three of them talked to the crowd, the four of them. Isn't Hiroshi in the Chaos?
Yeah, Tanahashi.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah.
I think so.
So now those four guys are Chaos.
Yeah, that was, you saw that coming in the match we saw on this, is that Eagles refused to let Phantasmo cheat.
Oh, yeah.
To beat Ospreay. He wanted to beat Ospreay fair and square. And then, so at the end, he finally got mad.
Because, what was the move that he did on him? He suicide dived right into him, like, on purpose.
Yeah. So that was a great match.
Yeah, it's not bad for a little guy.
Yeah, for a little guy. Yeah, Seth. The main event, what I found interesting is, your theory was they were setting up a Switchblade versus Okada kind of thing. But it seemed like Switchblade spent the majority of his time in the ring fighting Tanahashi. He had very little interaction with Okada. If you notice, Okada mostly was doing stuff with Fala. So it made me think that maybe they're going the different direction. Maybe those two are going to fight instead.
Fale's never had a heavyweight push, so he's usually been like the bodyguard type, but because he hasn't, he used to like fight tag team matches with Balor or Devitt, and he kind of like disappeared and turned into like the bodyguard type. So they might be pushing him back up.
And what about reverse? What I was saying, that they're setting up a thing with White and
Hiroshi.
Yep. Because they spent most of the time in the ring together. Most of their interaction was those two.
Or they're trying to keep them healthy for the G1.
That's possible, too. But I found that interesting as I watched it. I kept noticing that. I go, wait a minute. I'm not getting any Okada versus White in this, really. And so I made me think of that.
Yeah.
But that was a good match. There was, you know, there was some good stuff in that. But like you said, a lot of Bullet Club. Bullet Club was all over this pay-per-view. I guess the Aussies like Bullet Club, and they brought them over to sell some shirts.
Yeah, it was definitely like every match, even what was the one where it was
Taiji versus somebody, I think.
Yeah, well, who did he fight? Did he fight? He fought Yo and...
Oh, yeah, Yo and Nagata or somebody. The one dude. But on his team was the Gino Gambino dude.
Yeah. Gino Gambino.
Yeah, because some guys couldn't make the trip. Like, I guess Yo's partner couldn't make the trip. There were some kind of difficulties. There was a few guys that didn't make it because they couldn't get into Australia. So who knows? But overall, I think it was good.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely a good, better than Best in the World. It was good.
Best in the World.
But do you think it was better than Fyter Fest?
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, no. Yeah, I could have saved all my money this week and just watched Fyter Fest for free, and I'd have been a happy wrestling fan.
Watch the highlights later.
Yeah, so that's one thing I can honestly say. Like, what did I text you? I said, you know, this Ospreay match is awesome, but I don't know if it's $24.99 awesome.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I would have liked a little more. It felt like a house show, which basically it was a house show.
It looks like a house show. It wasn't in a big Tokyo Dome. It was in like maybe a gym, like a ballroom.
But, you know, it was good wrestling. At least they showed up and they wrestled. So I'll give them that. And the booking made sense to me. Based on my limited amount of what I've watched of New Japan, it made sense to me. They didn't do anything weird, and they advanced, like you said, that storyline with Eagles. Overall, I'd say a good show.
Yeah, it was a good show, especially, I mean, if you like the little guy and Robbie Eagles, that was enough for me right there. Because you're seeing two of the best in the world wrestle, and they did everything the right way. Like, the facial expressions from Ospreay or Eagles was outstanding, like showing pain. And then, you know, there was the moment where Eagles was working on Ospreay's leg, and he was fighting to get to the ropes, and he was acting like he was going to tap out, and then he'd pull himself and show the muscle he's added over the past year. And
that's what happened last match. They fought against each other. Eagles put him out with a submission.
Yeah, so because he ripped off the Japanese flag off his pants and handed it to him, inviting him to go to Japan. So yeah. It's been a storyline for quite a while between these two guys and stuff. So it was pretty sweet to see them, you know, join forces and that they're in chaos and stuff. And I'm gonna go to ProWrestlingTees.com and get me my chaos shirt pretty soon.
See, and that's good booking. Because for you guys, as long-term watchers, your story was fulfilled. You invested in this story, and you got a nice ending. I just show up late, and I still had a good time and understood what was going on based on a little highlight they showed me.
Right.
I mean, I kind of figured it was something like that when they're like kind of like showing him talking to each other through there. And then next thing you know, boom, you know.
Yep.
So that works for me.
Yeah, it was definitely a soap opera for us.
Because for you, you said a couple of shows ago, you told us that that when you watched AAA, it didn't work correctly. But when you saw New Japan, you kind of just like knew what was happening. Like you could just tell.
Mm-hmm. And it paid off. So, yeah, that's all I want. I want it to make sense. It's not that hard, you know. WWE. So, all right. Okay, let's hit the big one. Let's hit Fyter Fest, AEW. So let's go with the buy-in show first. One comment I'll make really fast about the buy-in show is I thought it was bad at first, and I re-watched it today on YouTube, and it was much better. The quality was better. I didn't get the pixelation. The sound was 100 times better. I was telling you I couldn't hear the sound worth a darn when I watched it live, and just there, I had a lot of complaints about production. About when I watched it today on YouTube, it was pretty awesome. I enjoyed, you know, other than the librarian, I enjoyed it.
Hmm. Yeah, the buy-in part that I enjoyed the most was the tag team match. If they would have just gave us that match instead of the other two that was in there, I'd be okay it, because that match to me was, we knew the Best Friends were good. We knew SCU was good, but it was our introduction. I mean, not our introduction, because we saw them at Wrestle Circus, right, of
Private Party,
and they got a lot of good spots in that match. Got to showcase their talents, the things that they could do, and it was introduction to most fans of them.
That was a theme of this whole show. They put over a lot of the young talent that people may not know, and I'd only seen Private Party one other time, like you, on Wrestle Circus, and this was a better performance than the Wrestle Circus one was. And yeah, that was awesome. That was really awesome. I love that AEW is doing that. So, Best Friends won, which I picked, by the way. Yeah. So you built them up to be a good contender. They probably are not going to win the titles, but they can be a solid contender versus the Bucks,
right,
versus Lucha Bros. You introduced us to Private Party, so now we know who they are, and we're all excited about this awesome young team, what they can do. And then still, you made SCU look strong. SCU's fine. You know, they can take a loss like that.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to hurt them at all.
Yep. And then at the end of the match, the guys that we saw at the last show, the skeleton-looking dudes showed up with them.
Oh, yeah. What's their name in this one? Because I think they were called Super Smash Bros, but they can't use that name.
That's what they were called in Canada, but they can't use that.
Right.
I don't know what their new name is.
I forgot their name, too.
That did not go off well. That was an example of what I mean, some production stuff. Like, he snaps his fingers, and then it takes, like, at least 10 seconds before they turn the lights off. Like, the guys that were supposed to turn the lights off weren't on it. And then they're around the ring, right? And nobody's doing anything. Everyone's kind of standing there. Then they turned off the lights for too long, because I think it was taking a while for those guys to get out of there. I just felt that one was – it just – I don't know. They didn't do a good job with that.
No.
That ending is – from a production standpoint.
Right, right. But the wrestling, the product of the in-ring stuff was really good that match.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about the after thing.
Right, right.
More so than anything else. And the same thing with that Liberian gag. Oh, Lord, that Liberian gag has to die.
Yeah, that was not, I wasn't a fan of that.
The match at all, what did you guys think of Allie in her first match? Because she's going to be a major player.
I thought it was an okay match, but, like, you know, the crowd wasn't into it, so you kind of lose interest with the crowd sometimes.
What happened to Kylie Rae?
I think I messed up and said it was Kylie Rae when it was really Allie. I think I misread it. Or they had a picture and I looked at it wrong or something.
Yeah.
But it wasn't going to ever be Kylie Rae. It was supposed to be Allie.
I feel like she's more of an impact.
Yeah, but she's going to fight. See, I don't know what kind of match that's going to be. She's going to fight Brandi Rhodes next. And, you know, it's not like Brandy's an excellent wrestler either. So
so somebody's going to probably match
that ends up being.
Yeah, somebody's going to probably run into the ring or something and help.
Cody?
No, another female.
Like, oh, well, Awesome Kong.
Yeah, or somebody new that shows up. Like, she could have, I don't know, let's just say throw it out there. I don't know if she's under contract, but, like, what about Sue Young?
What about Tennille Dashwood, one of the biggest free agents that nobody has right now?
Yeah, well, and that pay-per-view is in, what, two weeks?
2 weeks. Mm-hmm.
Which will be even better product because we're paying for it.
No.
It's not.
It's also free.
That one's free too?
That one's free too.
Holy shit.
Because I was hearing on a podcast today, that one is free too.
Okay.
So, but there's going to be some kind of thing set up so that they're going to be taking donations because the money is going to charity. So there's going to be a way to, like, donate some money for victims of gun violence. But the actual pay-per-view itself is going to be, they're not going to charge. From what I understand, they're not going to charge.
Okay.
Yep.
So we get one more free one. So it's going to be a chance to showcase some people again.
Yep.
So, yeah, and the Nakazawa thing, that was just for the gamer boys.
Yeah. Well, he lost. And you guys thought he was going to win so that they were like, oh, yeah, we have some hope. That's what you said in the last episode. But he brought out the baby oil, and it just...
That thong is gross. That's the first time I've seen that, and I can do without seeing that ever again. That was
please
just
don't.
Bad.
Yeah, just...
No, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
One last thing on the pre-show is the Firefest thing. That gag didn't go over very well either, where they're trying to make fun of the real Fire Festival and, like, how the... They're having to stay in the tents and the cheese sandwiches and the band canceled and all that silly stuff. I don't think that translated very well, and I think they should stay away from that. I understand what they're trying to do, but...
Right. Plus, we kind of seen that stuff. If you watch Being Elite, you kind of seen it teased on previous episodes. The same kind of comments and stuff. Like, even on Twitter, like, Hangman Page was talking about, like, oh, they don't have food here. They just have bread and cheese. Things like
that. Yeah, I think that's something you're going to have to be careful about. It became kind of an inside joke. Because if you watch the Being Elite that came out this today, there was a lot more stuff. Like, they did this thing where they're standing in the ring and saying... And all the guys are, like, attacking each other to try to get a tent. And all the, you know, the lower card guys. And all the silliness is going on to kind of sell that idea. And that's something the average person who watches the show doesn't get. So they don't know what's going on.
Right.
Right.
But, yeah, other than that, I think it's a pretty good pay-per-view. I think it was really awesome that it has a decoration and a theme, like old WCW. You know, it reminded me of like the old bash at the beach and stuff like that. You know, you have the palm trees, and then last time we had the poker chips. I think it's cool that we're getting those kind of pay-per-view specific decorations and things.
Right. Instead of the usual WWE, where they put the one pay-per-view, they'll have the tables, ladders, and chairs for TLC.
Mm-hmm. Or it's just all graphics now. Like, they're not really thinking outside the box and changing things up.
Yep.
So, to make it seem unique.
Yeah.
I
like that.
Fred, you were...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Fred, you were saying it reminded you of WCW in a way. It reminded you of a TV show of WCW.
Yeah, it just seems like if this is, you know, I kind of treated this as not a pay-per-view. I treated it as, like, this is what the TV product's going to look like. And if that's what it's like, then it's going to look like WCW Nitro. Because it's, you know, the wrestling, the in-ring stuff, if they bring this kind of talent, like, we're going to see the lesser name guys on the TV show and things like that. Like, we're going to get the MJF. We're going to get, you know, Jungle Boy. We're going to get the Laredo Kids, guys like that, you know, who all got big spots in this, on this Fighter Fest. I mean, it's got a lot of, it's got me excited about, like, the whole card, the whole roster, because they're creating storylines with these guys, whether it's, like, Sean Spears hitting Cody with the chair. And then MJF taking exception and stuff because that's Cody Rhodes is his best friend. That's setting up things down the line. I mean, there's plenty of things that are getting set up, you know, on here.
You could, have him and MJF, and then somehow he overcomes MJF and Cody has to get involved. And then you have Sean Spears and Cody. I mean, you could build a whole month of program off of this. Easy.
Right. And then you have, like Laredo Kid, or what about Darby Allin? Like, the crazy bumps that he took was like a skateboarder falling off half pikes and stuff. Like, that coffin drop on the edge of the apron? Holy crap, that makes my spine hurt.
You told me he was like, it was like Raven, except nowadays. It was just...
Oh, that's a good... Yeah. That's a good...
Because you saw how he sat in the corner and...
Yeah, he's kind of like chill like Raven and stuff, but he's... I think he's obviously extremely more quick than he is and agile than Raven, but...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But, like, the time... the spot where Cody threw him into the corner and he...
He just, like, fell.
He went through the ropes purposely to sell Cody's strength, and I was like, holy crap, this kid is laying everything on the line to, like, just do these crazy bumps. And if he does this week to week, it's tremendous. And not only that, they're booking Cody as one of the strongest guys in there, and this guy comes in like the 1-2-3 kid style, like he has no chance, but he goes the time limit. That only helps him prove that he is up there. Like, he might not be like the top 10 guys there, but he could be like 15, you know. It's showing how talented he is, that, you know, that Cody's willing to, you know, help him, because Cody could just eat the win quickly. But he was able to show him powerful.
Yeah, across the board. Cody does that. SCU makes Private Party look good. Christopher Daniels makes SEMA look good. Because even though SEMA's not necessarily a young guy, we don't know. A lot of people don't know who he is. But he made him look strong, sets him up, because he's fighting Omega next. And now you believe he's a good opponent for Omega, because you just saw him beat Daniels. And Daniels bowed to him and gave him respect. So everything, I don't know, there's just an unselfish style. Like, these guys get it, man. They totally get it that, you know, it's not going to hurt me. I don't have to win every week. We don't have to do this 50-50 booking. Let's build some stars. Because for us to survive, we need to build some homegrown stars. We can't just buy all the cast-offs that WWE throws. We need to build our own people, and they get it. Jungle Boy looked good. He did some pretty crazy things. That he did that one thing off the turnbuckle, where he was up on the turnbuckle and he did that weird flip thing. And even what's the wrestler from England that was doing the commentary? He even said, wow, I've never seen that before. The guy that beat Sammy.
Kip Sabian.
Last time they beat Sammy in Double or Nothing.
Kip
Sabian. He was doing commentary, and Jungle Boy did that where he jumped off and he did that weird spin into them. Uh-huh. He's like, "I've never seen anything like that before." So yeah, he got a nice, and he was the young kid in that match without a doubt. So they made him look good.
Yeah, because
Havoc's already Havoc.
Paige. Isn't he only like 21?
22.
Is he?
Yeah.
Compared to everybody else, he looks around like 16.
Did you see the picture that Luchasaurus put on Twitter?
Yeah, yeah. Where he was like...
He's like a little boy.
Like he's 11 or 12 in the picture.
I don't even... He started when he was 6. I watched the interview. His parents put him in a wrestling promotion to learn a wrestling school when he was 6. He's been wrestling that long. Because I guess he was too busy. He was pile driving his little sister on the trampoline, and they decided, well, we need you to like maybe do this with some people that know what's going on.
Yeah. So no one gets, do not try this at home.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So that was a great match. What did you guys think of the Lucha Bros and Young Bucks?
Good match. The entrances were the same, but... And then you said that Laredo Kid was there just to get pinned, but he did a lot of other cool stuff. But he did get pinned the end. Just saying.
But they made him look good.
Yeah, they made him look like, yeah.
He took all of, I felt like Phoenix was the least visible in this whole match. And it was, I think, because
it was sad.
They're similar. So maybe they made a choice to let him do all the crazy stuff that Phoenix would normally do. And so that showcases that Laredo Kid's got chops.
Right.
So that was pretty cool of them to do that.
Yeah, it was a good match. I think like that might have been close to my favorite, but I think my favorite was the one that came at the end because it was Moxley showing his his Cactus Jack, his inner Cactus Jack in him.
You said it was like Terry Funk versus Cactus Jack. It was...
Yeah. But you have to like that kind of wrestling, though. Like, not a lot of people enjoy it. I was like, well, I just want to see, like, what crazy bumps they're going to take and what are they going to do crazy. And what I found fascinating about it was that I knew Joey Janela did dumb shit. But
what's wrong with him?
But to see, like, Jon Moxley take a lot of the bumps and the crazy stuff, I was like, wait. Holy crap, this dude's like, he's willing to make Joey Janela look strong because we all know if it was a real fight, Joey's like a small dude, he's going to get his butt kicked.
It just shows you what happened in WWE and what they were doing with him. And like my dad said, he was there to hold up the other two guys, but they weren't using him right.
I agree. Oh, yeah, he looks happy. He had a good match. My favorite is Cody. And Darby. I liked it. I liked how they worked the hand. That was the story. And because the hand was hurt, he couldn't do certain things. And his hand was hurt. He couldn't put his hand up to stop the chair shot. All those things go back to working the hand.
Yeah.
So that was my favorite.
The only problem with that match was I don't think the body bag was used right. Well, he brought it out. It wasn't. It was more of a Cody took that match. And it was like Darby got put in his own body bag. That's it. Yep.
In the Bucks, I would say the only my knock on that match is they knew it was just a fun match, and they were doing some spots that just were kind of like crazy. Like everybody was in on it. Like almost they were smiling. Like two of them are up on the ropes, and the other one's holding them to make sure they don't fall. And there was no like aggression against each other. It was just they were out there putting on an exhibition for everybody to just have everyone go, ooh, ah. So from a story, I guess it didn't have much of a story, but I don't care. It was a lot of fun.
Wait.
And I'm sure live it blew people away.
What? Wasn't there a moment in the Lucha Bros, Laredo versus the Elite, where he botched it and missed the springboard and Phoenix ran across the ropes, and what did he do from there? That was, I just remember that I was like, oh, wow. Like.
Yeah. I think I know which one you mean. Yeah.
I don't.
And it's almost like he was there to steady the to stay. I don't know if it was Matt. I think it was Matt, wasn't it?
Matt.
So they kind of, like I said, they were just doing moves, I felt, a little bit more so than...
That was a pop... It was like a pop match. They were just, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, the Young Bucks are... It's kind of... I'm going to get hate for this, but... I'm just tired of the gymnastic stuff. I want them to be, like, a little more aggressive and stuff, and maybe they're waiting for, like, you know, a all-in... If we get another one between those two.
Yeah, they need the right opponent.
Yeah, it's just odd to me because I think, like, they both are trying to be safe with each other. You know what I mean? Like, they both know what they can do and they just wait. And then, you know, it's like dancing. They're just dancing.
I feel like what you said when Phoenix disappeared the most in that match, I feel like Kenny kind of disappeared in that match too, but then came back and... The last match, which we can get to, I think.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe it's just overkill. It's too much to have Omega, Laredo Kid, Young Bucks, Lucha Bros. Everybody there can go.
Yeah, it's...
So it's like, there's so much.
Yeah, that match was... I think they, like, lowered it down a little because then the last match would look... Like, just, like, take it down a little and then people would end, like, I don't know... Lazier, worse, like, note, I guess. So they made that match good.
One thing I'd want to comment on is I like the way they treated this like rules, that they actually used the count out rule. I mean, the time, you know, the time expires to show us that they are going to stick to times. That they made this big deal that the Moxley match was unsanctioned, that it was going to happen after everything, that they were going to turn off the lights, turn it back on due to insurance reasons, all that stuff. I totally dug that. That's old school wrestling that they don't do anymore. You know, I really liked how they did that. That was something that really the old school wrestling fan in me enjoyed a lot.
Oh, for the Darby Allin match, didn't that match? No, but there was no winner, wasn't there? The time ran out.
No. Time ran out. They actually did that. And I think it was awesome. I think it created a lot of excitement at the end of that match because you're like, no, Cody's got to win. Cody's got to win. But the time kept going. And now you're like, oh, just hold on, Darby. Just hold on, Darby. It added a sense of excitement. Now, you don't want to overdo that for every match. And they always had ties. But
then the crowd was chanting five more minutes. Brandy wanted five more minutes. And then Sean Spears came out.
Yeah. It was a classic David versus Goliath.
It was good stuff. I definitely enjoyed it. And then I think Jim Ross was pretty good. I think the announcing was 100 times better than it was last time.
Yeah. And then the women's match was good too as well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
The Nyla Rose match, that match.
Yep.
That was a killer match. That where Nyla jumped and I think she bloodied that girl's lip. What's her name? Because I mispronounce it.
Oh, I don't.
She was like on the rope, and Nyla jumped from the turnbuckle and kind of like hit her in the face. Was it with? It wasn't the little pixie. It wasn't Yuka or
Riho.
It was Riho.
The other one.
Yeah,
Riho. Yeah. Yes. So Riho was like her mouth was bloody after that. She got nailed pretty good. I liked that match a lot. I think all three of them. I came out knowing nothing about those three, and now I'm a fan of all three, and I can't wait to see where they are. And that was sweet, because they could have been lazy and just trotted out Britt Baker.
Yeah.
You know, Britt Baker's the star of the women's division. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. And they could have just trotted her out.
Yeah, the two Japanese women, they're like, man, I could watch them wrestle each other now. Like, that looks fun. Like, I've watched Stardom before.
DDT
the women's wrestling and Stardom, and that's some of the best like women's wrestling I've ever watched, and it's amazing. And that's the type of matches the style you get, like all that crazy. And what I enjoyed about it the most was like the facial expressions, because the Japanese women are outstanding when it comes to like just their whole character, like showing pain or all different things. They sell everything. That's the best part about Japan. Like, people think, like, even in New Japan, it's about, like, strong style. but it's about selling. If you watch them, they sell everything, like every move. And when they don't sell, that's amazing too, because that's like them just showing, they'll be like, oh, you didn't even hurt me, you know, things like that, because that's another way of them doing it, which that's why I enjoy like Japanese wrestling.
Yeah, they could have got lazy with it, like you said, had her come out, or it could have been a Nyla Rose squash match, but it wasn't.
I think the bright person won. Like, they basically have set up a little feud between the two.
Yes.
Because the way it ended, you know, sad face. Like Jim Ross
said. That's a sad wrestling face right there.
That was great.
Try my barbecue sauce.
I liked Ross. I mean, you and me, you said you didn't like him as much. I liked him. I think he added a whole other dimension.
He likes Cornette. You know?
I like this, it reminds me of being a kid watching, like, TBS at 6:05 on, you know, Saturday nights, when he would announce and stuff, which is cool, and that's awesome. But there's times that he seemed to be, like, a little bit lost, but that's okay, because he's a legend. Yeah. Because the guy that this time that came in and helped out the team, he kind of picked up on that and, you know, moved it along, which was good, because the prior pay-per-view that Alex, whatever his name was, could not do that. He was not quick on his feet thinking, you know. But this was definitely, like, for a broadcast standpoint, this was probably the best, you know, out of the two shows. This was the best for them.
I think what Ross can bring once he kind of gets acclimated is he brought up history. He wasn't scared to bring up old wrestlers.
Right. Like he said, like like somebody did like a suplex or something. He was like, that's like Scott Steiner used to do back in.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. I'm like, yeah, it is. Yeah. Why can't we acknowledge old wrestlers? So what if they're in another, you know, promotion now? I like that. And then you have the guy with the mask. I can't remember his name right now.
I can't remember.
The announcer with a mask. But he is so knowledgeable about the now wrestlers. So he's the one giving you all the info about them. So I think there's a nice balance. He slips in little details where they trained. Oh, well, they fought each other at this pay-per-view or this show, blah, blah, blah. Little shows. So he kind of drops history on some of these younger teams.
Yep.
So I think you get a nice balance.
Yeah, it was definitely a good broadcast from commentary on this. I mean, the whole show, have we hit every match?
The only thing I don't think we've talked about is the Omega coming out at the end.
Yeah, that's like what I was about to say. So do you want to talk about that?
I just think that they were trying to make Kenny look strong, but against Moxley. But let's be real, he's not strong compared to Moxley.
Yeah, you're probably right. But they did it right.
Yeah.
Moxley sitting there smiling and just laughing at the whole
thing.
Yeah,
like he was getting off on the pain and stuff he was putting him through.
I think he was kind of laughing at Kenny for trying to do what they were doing in the ring, but he was kind of lost in it. Moxley was laughing at him because he was like hurt, and he was laughing at him because he wasn't hardcore enough for him.
He's like the Joker.
But it does set up the future match between them really good. So, without television, that's important, because they don't have television yet to set up these pay-per-views.
Right.
And that's what I think is even more amazing, that I can show up to these pay-per-views and be into them without like a week of regular television to kind of like set up who's fighting who and why. And they're still getting the job done, which is pretty damn impressive, if you ask me.
It is a good time to be a wrestling fan, because like if you feel like left out from when you guys were kids and you watched like the Monday Night Wars, this is like the start of like maybe a new one.
I agree. There's a lot of shenanigans already going on. But there are some shenanigans. There's definitely a competition going on. You can't tell me that Vince McMahon would be reaching out to Eric Bischoff right now if it wasn't for AEW, you know. That's a big move. That means he is a little worried, if you ask me.
Yeah, but, okay, not to get off on a tangent about Eric Bischoff, but when he worked for TNA, It was terrible.
Even more the reason it makes this a desperate move, if you ask me.
Yeah, because I think it's like Vince just trying to like tell the people that are giving, you know, the, what do you say, like the people like at the end of the quarter and stuff, the backers, the shareholders, give them something to think about and say, well, we're doing this, we're trying to improve the product, trying to do this and that, you know, because in what, 3 more months they'll have to sit back down and stuff. So we'll see how this goes, but I think this is a desperation move by him. If he was smart, he wouldn't even have like Eric Bischoff involved. If he wanted to do something good, I'd say Paul Heyman could run the whole thing.
Paul Heyman,
because he's look what he did for ECW, or even when he was in WCW. He's a mastermind when it comes to that stuff. He can write it all, like your promos, everything. He knows what's good.
I want to say ECW is like the most famous independent show before it was bought by WWE.
Yeah, some of the things it did were so innovative. They broke all the rules. They didn't care.
Yeah,
people were kicking out of finishers and just all kinds of crazy shit that they were doing that just wasn't happening before them.
Yeah,
it was all gimmicks, and they brought that realistic bar fight stuff into it.
There's no DQs, there's nothing, it's just full-on brawls. Yep.
I mean, WCW was the mix where they had the good wrestlers, and then they had the main event guys who would talk most of the show.
Yeah, WCW did a decent job of writing stories for the mid-card. That's the big difference, where WWE is not writing stories for the mid-card.
Yep, they throw them in 205 Live, which needs to empty. They need to empty out and go to independent shows. Kalisto needs to go back to Octagon Jr. and start feuds and do that stuff.
He's getting paid too well. That's a problem.
Right.
You know, they enjoy the money.
But nobody sees it.
Well, here's some news that came out of the show afterwards. I don't know if you saw. Like, one thing that's kind of cool is on the Being the Elite video, the Young Bucks backstage offered Private Party an official contract. They are officially exclusive to AEW. It was a pretty cool moment. And SCU was there too. And they were like really happy. And they're like, yep, you're going to get a paycheck every 2 weeks now. You're official. You know, you're on the payroll. So
as long as they don't get Enzo, I think the company's completely fine.
Yeah, no Enzo. I don't think they would. And then I watched the interview with Tony Khan, and they asked him, you know, what about getting other people? And he said, no. He goes, oh, we pretty much have who we want. This is our roster.
Yeah, they have a good roster for now until people start leaving.
So he kind of – but I think that's why you're seeing these guys re-sign with WWE that thought they were going to leave. It's like maybe they went to AEW, and AEW said, no, we don't really need you right now. We know what we want to do, and we've got – I mean, of course, if someone big – like if Sasha Banks finally gets out of her contract somehow and she wants to go, yeah, you make a play for someone.
Or
that's a game changer.
Right, or Marty Scurll.
Marty Scurll.
Yeah, or Marty Scurll. Yeah, those are the kind of people. Those are game changers that you make a change for. Or someone from like a Will Ospreay. Someone who's a game changer.
That wouldn't happen.
Well, like I think Jeff Cobb's contract is up at the end of the summer too, so.
And they need that powerful guy, yep, like you said.
So that would be...
That'd be a good one.
Yeah, that would be someone else that you could add to that mix.
Mm-hmm. So as long as they stay to that and just make... And then kind of, you know, keep scouting the younger talent, which is, I think, they're good at.
I
like it.
Because...
And then he also talked about... go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, because there's one more talent that's freeing up at the end of the... maybe in August after? No. Is LAX is going to be LAX is going to be like free agents. And,
wow.
And I think that it would be great for them to join
LAX.
AEW.
That would be...
If LAX doesn't join AEW, they should just stay where the hell they're at, honestly.
Or they could...
Because they shouldn't go to Ring of Honor. They shouldn't go there.
They should go to MLW.
And I think WWE. No, well, I don't know if they'll make enough money. I think Impact will give more money than going to AEW. I mean, than going to MLW.
They would fit good there, though. That's the only thing.
Yeah, they'd fit, but I don't know if they'd get paid enough for the level they're at. You got to get that payday. They're at that level to get that payday. WWE would leave them buried in NXT.
Yeah.
Or revival them.
I don't think they fit Japan's style.
No, if anything, they would be like AAA.
It's AEW.
Yeah.
AAA. No, I don't know about AAA.
Yeah, they could do the AAA, AEW, do both. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Kind of like the Lucha Brothers do, and kind of like Laredo Kid does. They could do both. All right, well, we should wrap it up.
Yeah, we should hit our handles and things like that and call it a night.
Yep, I agree. It was a lot of fun watching the shows, even though all of them didn't hit. We'll be doing another one at the end of this month. It's already this month. It's a new month. We'll be doing it at the end of July. We'll be doing, I don't know what the pay-per-views are. Is there like all those ones in Dallas maybe? Is that the end of July?
I know. I think so. We're going to watch for sure Wrestle Circus because we know that's free.
Okay.
And that's like July 28th. Isn't there like the G1 this week?
I think so. Oh, is it this week already? Or next week?
I'm not sure.
Wow, so we may not have an actual pay-per-view show. We will only do one of these pay-per-view fests if there's
like three
more than one pay-per-view at least.
I think the next big one is like the NXT UK, the G1, is it the G1 Climax? And another, the All In is all on the same day, and that's in August.
Same day.
Oh, okay, that's August.
So
okay. That
will definitely be a pay-per-view fest.
And it may take us a little while to watch all three of those, but we'll get them watched.
That's fine. And we know that two of them are already paid for, so we're good.
Yeah. There you go. Perfect. And we were meant to have a guest tonight, and our guest couldn't make it, but we will definitely try to have a guest next time. So kind of liven this up. So our next show after this, we'll be back to our traditional Indie Alley. We'll have our comic books for the week, and we'll have the wrestling that happened this week.
Yeah.
Probably your MLW. Maybe we'll go back to ROH. I don't know. Kind of irritated with them. And some Impact. We'll go from there.
Don't forget NXT.
All right, guys.
NXT?
Oh, yeah, true. Some NXT. NXT and NXT UK, they're stepping up.
Yeah.
Not 205 Live.
Because there's a rumor they're going to go head-to-head. So, all right, you guys can find me at Real Comics, RELCOMICS. You can find Fred at...
You can find me at Comics Fred on Twitter. You can find Joe...
On the podcast.
Yep. Or you can DM me, and I can relay something to him.
That'll work.
Also, you can email us at streetlevelfloppies@gmail.com. You can find us at, did you mention it, at Indie Alley?
No, I did not.
Okay.
You can find us at Indie Alley.
And you can also find us at Street Level Floppies.
Yeah, I think we have enough Twitter handles to lie.
But that's, well, did we let them know that that page is going to be used strictly for comic books and stuff? And when we release a comic book podcast, it will be under that name.
Yeah.
Right.
It'll be under the old Street Level Floppies, our traditional name. And we're going to do some straight comic book stuff there that won't have the wrestling. Because there's a few things we want to do that would make the show 2 hours long if we did it wrestling and comic books together.
And there's going to be like once a month we'll be getting back with our old friend Chris to be recording with us, which will be awesome.
Yep. So the old Street Level Floppies crew will ride again. Getting the band back together.
Yeah, I should probably not say our old friend. We're still friends, but...
Yeah,
I know. I just thought about that. Yeah. I was like, damn, what am I doing? Yeah, I think we're friends. Chris, are we friends?
Yeah, let's see if you're listening, Chris. Right.
This is a test.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and call it a night then. Maybe I'll go watch some ROH.
Yeah, probably not.
Or you can watch Raw. Hey.
I'll probably watch ROH.
Yeah.
All right. Later.
Peace.
Bye.